I think most everyone is familiar with the movie about the Grinch who stole Christmas. And during one part of the movie, a singer with a very low bass sings about the horror of the Grinch and sings at one point, "I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole." And that is exactly how I feel about today's gospel. I didn't want to touch it with a 39 and a half foot pole. This is the most uncharacteristic gospel lesson. For one thing, no matter how carefully we listen, we cannot detect a single note of authentic joy or hope anywhere in the text. Instead, what we hear is a wretched tale of anger and revenge, resentment and death. But there is a lot of that going on in our world today. And I guess that's why I was loath to delve deeper into this story. The beheading of John the Baptist is too keen a reminder for me of what is happening to innocent people by the hands of ISIS. And then there are these senseless, repeated acts of racism going on, not only in other parts of the country, but here at home. These things really scare me on so many levels. I can't help but wonder if God is throwing his hands up and saying, "They still don't get it. Didn't I send my son down to show them how to love each other?" I find myself several times a day asking God to stop this madness. But I realized I was not asking for these people to be killed because then I'd be as bad as they are. So my prayer has become a plea to have God turn their hearts. Turn their hearts away from the killing and to recognize that no matter what name we give him, God is God. Can't we all see him for the loving God he is, and not a God of vengeance and violence and punishment? And we might wonder in all of this, why did Mark tell this story? If you remember, Mark doesn't say anything about Jesus' birth or give a resurrection account. But here we get, for whatever reason, an extended section on Herod and John the Baptist. Mark's gospel is so short and to the point, yet he tells us intricate details of Herod's marital situation and birthday party. Why? Matthew and Luke, in one respect, the first preachers to work with Mark's material, also struggle to make sense of how this passage fits into Mark's and their larger story of the gospel. Matthew shortens the story considerably, while Luke omits it altogether. Though I could have spoken about 2 Samuel or Ephesians, I decided to dive right in and to see if there is something to be learned in the depths of this lesson, because Mark puts it here for a reason. The details of this story are horrific, and as I mentioned earlier, they aren't as far removed from us as we might think. What Herod did was despicable. There is no diminishing it. But maybe besides being a villain, maybe he's also kind of a tragic figure because he knows better. Herod was not some soulless, bloodthirsty, godless man. He knew it was wrong, and afterwards he had a guilty conscience. Because later on, when he hears about Jesus, why else would Herod assume, of all things, that the most logical explanation for why there was a man in his region who healed people and cast out demons was that it must be John the Baptist returned from the grave. What's tragic is that Herod went to his grave with all his violence and stupidity on his conscience, never once knowing that he and his illegal wife and her child Salome and John the Baptist are all beloved children of God. What's tragic about Herod is how different his story is from the prostitutes, demoniacs, tax collectors, Pharisees, and centurions we meet in the Gospels. They encounter Jesus Christ and are freed from the bondage of the past. In the presence of Christ, they are given a glimpse of God's bigger story of love and mercy, and are shown who they really truly are in the eyes of a loving God, and they are made new. The story of who they are is given a new ending and a new meaning. But Herod was trapped in his own story, a story that tortured him and probably one he felt he couldn't escape from. When our own little stories begin to feel self-contained and inescapable, that's when things are tragic. Perhaps there are some of us who feel trapped, unable to change the story of who we are, unable to change our behavior or attitude or outlook. Maybe your marriage is ending, or you've lost your job, or you fear your child will never speak with you again, or you're pretty sure your friend has betrayed you, or you think you may have just screwed up the one relationship that meant something to you. Then the possibility of another ending, a good ending, is indeed not just good news, but the best news you can imagine. And while there is no good news in this gospel story, maybe we are supposed to notice that this is the only story in Mark's gospel where Jesus is not mentioned. There is no Jesus. So if this story stood alone, there would be only violence and bondage and political maneuvering and incest. The only thing that makes this story good is that it's not the end of the story. In the movie, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, a character says that they have a saying in India that in the end, all will be well. If all is not well, it is not yet the end. So while there is no good news in this story, while there is no Jesus in this story, what's amazing is that the story of Herod's birthday is immediately followed by the feeding of the 5,000. Here is where we find Jesus and thousands of people sitting on the green grass, and a few loaves and a couple of fish amply feed them all. In this Eucharistic party, there is no exploitation of children or killing of prophets. There is only Jesus. These people were living a new story. We can be living a new story, a story written by a God who desires that all are fed and all are loved and none are exploited. It's a story we all live out of each week as we gather together at this table. Our Eucharistic table is the antidote to whatever version of Herod's birthday party is playing out in our own lives and in the world around us. You are not trapped. This is not the end of your story. God's still writing the story, And it's so much better than the one we'd come up with. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.